Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You're all listening to another episode of The Basketball Truth presented by the Red Light Sports Network with your host, as always, Kevin Cunningham. Thought I was going to have a co-host with me, but it appears as though he's not in the dashboard for me to let him talk. So I will be doing this show solo most likely for the next 45 minutes, but that's completely okay with me. March Madness is here, and the tournament bracket has been revealed, and so I could talk about this stuff for hours and hours and hours and hours and do research on the teams for hours and hours. March Madness, to me, is the best time of the year. If I could have a show just solely on college basketball, I would do it. When the bracket's revealed, I mean, that's I had a Facebook status about it that Selection Sunday, it's better than Christmas. Christmas, yeah, you get a bunch of gifts. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's fun. But Selection Sunday, for me, is just, it's the number one day of the year. The bracket comes out, and it, just 17 million things roll through my mind at once. So we're revealed on Sunday night. It's Monday night now, so, you know, a little over 24 hours to truly think about things and get my thoughts on exactly what I wanted to talk about tonight specifically, but it looks as though the co-host that I was planning on having is called in, so I will let him in now. Ben, you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Kevin.
Good stuff, good stuff. How you been, Ben?
I've been well. How you been, Kevin?
I've been well as well. So I was just getting into the thick of things here. Just got done talking about the tournament with an hour and a half, literally, with Troy and Evan at the network doing their show. They were talking about the bracket in general, just running through the regions, kind of what I'm doing today. Tomorrow I'll try to focus on a couple of the regions as well as blogging about a couple, and then Wednesday I plan on finishing it up as far as previewing the entire tournament. But so going into things, because you know, 45 minutes goes by as fast as anything when talking about stuff like this. So the Midwest region, we'll start there. Ben, just give me your thoughts on, you know, the whole Kentucky against the field thing. Should Kentucky just walk into the Final Four? If there's any team that could give Kentucky problems, who would it be? If there's a dark horse that you see in this Midwest region, who could it be? Tell me your thoughts on the Midwest.
The Midwest, to me, I think is Kentucky to lose, and I don't think it's that difficult, to be honest. I guess I could see some teams giving them better games than the SEC gave them, because, frankly, towards the end there, it was kind of just a joke watching them play some of those teams. The final, the SEC final, UK just crushed. And, I mean, Arkansas is supposed to be the second-best team in the SEC, and it was a 20-point game. So I'm excited to see them play some teams that aren't in the SEC. Obviously, Kansas is the number two seed in the bracket. They already played Kentucky early in the year and got whooped. So hoping that Kentucky isn't in the final or in the Elite Eight, I don't expect them to be. I actually have Notre Dame there. I think that would be an entertaining matchup. I also think Maryland as the four would be an entertaining matchup for Kentucky. The guard play with Des Wells would definitely, you know, see how they would match up with the Harrisons and, you know, Kentucky. But Kentucky's just so deep, I don't see them losing until at least the Final Four. Worst case scenario for Kentucky, I see them losing in the Final Four. My dark horse in that region, I have two upsets. I have Buffalo taking down West Virginia, and I actually do have Texas beating Butler. I think that's the classic. Texas didn't deserve to get in. They're being overlooked, so they'll end up winning, of course. And I do think Wichita State will take down Indiana and then take out Kansas in the second round. I think they've been waiting for that matchup for a long time. They've been trying to get some home-and-home matchups scheduled with Kansas. Kansas has been wary to do it because, I mean, it's not going to help them. you know, it's not going to improve their RPI to schedule Wichita State, but it will help Wichita's immensely, and they just couldn't get it done. So I think that's a really big rivalry game for Wichita State, and they're going to give it their all, and I do think they pull off the upset there. But otherwise, Kentucky to the Final Four.
Yeah, I hear you, and I think we're basically on the same page. The only difference might be I have West Virginia over Buffalo, and then West Virginia beating Maryland. But, yeah, I have Kentucky going through Purdue and then beating West Virginia. West Virginia, I've got to say, if healthy, and Juwan Staten and Gary Brown are healthy for West Virginia, they're an extremely tough team. They play good D. Offensively, they have their struggles here and there, but the key for them is going to be health. And if Juwan Staten's not ready to go, you know, play up to close to 100%, then Buffalo can certainly pull that upset. I just like West Virginia's toughness on defense.
Buffalo led Kentucky at the half. They played Wisconsin tough. So, I mean, and their senior-laden squad, as usual with these mid-majors that, you know, get 12 seeds. So I do think it's going to be a tough matchup for West Virginia. I agree with you. West Virginia is healthier now. I just think Buffalo is going to take a tight one. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think that through all these 12-5 matchups, it's the classic, you know, sexy upset pick. And for me, I have literally all fives moving on, which, you know, probably won't happen. But if there is a 5-12 to key in on, it probably is this West Virginia-Buffalo game, because West Virginia is not 100%, and Buffalo is probably talent-wise the best 12 seed out there. Stephen F. Austin may disagree with that, but I think Buffalo is probably the best 12 out there. But so for Kentucky, a roll through Purdue. Purdue's got 2 7-footers inside, so that could be interesting if Kentucky plays terribly. West Virginia, Maryland, Maryland's backcourt, as well as Mello Trimble, that backcourt can match up with any backcourt. So they could give Kentucky problems, but again, Kentucky is just so loaded up front, and they're big. That's what makes them so ridiculous, is that they're big. The guards, the Harrison twins, realistically, they're good, but they're not fantastic. I'd rather have Maryland's backcourt, to be honest. But Kentucky's defense also thrives through their bigs. And just the guards saying, you know what, we'll do whatever. If you get past us, then good luck getting past Kari Johnson, Marcus Lee, Willie Cauley-Stein, Carl Towns. I think I'm forgetting one. But that just shows, I mean, it's, you know, insane, the bigs that Kentucky has. The one team I think that can truly give them troubles is Notre Dame, just because they can't shoot the three. Like you, I have that Elite Eight matchup, Kentucky and Notre Dame. I have Notre Dame playing Wichita State in the Sweet 16, which I think you do as well.
Yep.
I have Texas beating Butler. So, we're pretty much seeing eye to eye here.
In agreement on that, yeah, except for, in agreement besides the Maryland West Virginia thing. And just quick before you had asked about the 12-5 thing, there's only three times in the last 20 years has all four of the five seeds won: 1988, 2000, and most recently 2007.
So we're due for one. You know what I mean?
We're due for one. Three out of 20.
We're due for a fourth in 21 season. That'll be my logic.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I'm semi-torn on a couple games before we move on. The Wichita State-Kansas game, like you laid it out perfectly for why Kansas doesn't schedule them. It's an in-state team. If they lose, it's the end of the world. Kansas recruits. People that are interested in Kansas see an in-state rival beat them, and it's like, okay, why would I go to Kansas if this smaller school, they're doing big things too. Kansas's strength of schedule coming into this tournament is one in the country. That's without Wichita State. What's the point in scheduling Wichita State? For Wichita State, like you said, it's obviously a huge game for them. So I think Kansas is hearing it as well, that this is a huge game, and if it does end up happening, Kansas will be up for it too. I think Kansas is overseeded as a two. I think they're the worst two. I think, you know, the committee did Kentucky right in that respect, that they got the worst two seed. Wichita State, it's just hard for me with this game, because Wichita State is, they're a really good team, and their backcourt's really good. They're just the same players they had from a year ago. except adding a year of experience. The problem is they lost Clanton early, among a couple other guys. And so Wichita State just, to me, isn't as good a team. So it's hard to say that a team that was really good last year got worse. They're playing Kansas, a team that has obviously elite talent, but isn't a Kansas team that we're typically used to seeing being extremely dominant. So I see it as a close matchup. It's just hard for me to see Wichita State be definitely worse than they were a year ago, in my opinion, and to pick them having that big upset. It would be an extremely emotional game if anything could happen. But I don't know. I'm still iffy about that. And then Texas-Notre Dame, I mean, I expect Notre Dame to win, but Texas coming into the season I thought was going to win the Big 12. They had, like, literally all five starters coming back. You had a top two recruit in Miles Turner, 6'11 defensive forward, and that team looked like they were ready to finally knock off Kansas at the top of the Big 12, and then they just took a dump on the whole season, and they entered the tournament as 11th seed, which some people don't even think they deserve to make the tournament. Talent-wise, that team is much better than 11th seed, but the way they played, if they were left out of the tournament, I wouldn't have cried about it, even though I'm a huge Texas guy this year. Running into Notre Dame, I just think Notre Dame's I think that if it's kind of like Villanova we'll talk about, if it's Villanova's time, this is the time for Villanova to truly make a legit run. I think it's the same way with Notre Dame. I think that led by Jerry and Grant, they've got a number of shooters on the outside. When they're hitting their shots, they can beat Duke by 30 points like they did earlier in the year. When they're not, obviously, it's troublesome. But Notre Dame's potential is through the roof. That's why I think they're the only team that can probably beat Kentucky more than once out of every 10 tries. That's kind of what I'm going toward with this Kentucky team is that, you know, yeah, West Virginia can beat them. Maryland can beat them. Kansas probably can. Texas matches up with them. They probably can. But what team actually has somewhat of an okay shot at beating them? I think Notre Dame can have that because of how well they shoot it. What are your thoughts on that? Outside of Notre Dame, do you think there's any team that has a legitimate, decent chance, I guess, at beating Kentucky?
I'll make this short and sweet. No, I do not. I think Notre Dame, 1 out of 10, they would beat Kentucky. And it's interesting. We'll have to come back to the Villanova thing because I have a very different opinion on them. I do feel the same way about Notre Dame. I think they are loaded, and when they're hot from three, as you can see, they were down, I think, what, 11 against Carolina, and they won that game by 11. So, I mean, they can just flip the script like nothing when they get hot from behind the arc. Aside from Notre Dame, no, I don't see anyone taking down Kentucky in that region. As your point to Wichita State, Kansas, I do think your comparison of the backcourts and who you would take, I forget what matchup we were talking about, but I would, if you compare the backcourts with Kansas and Wichita State, I would definitely take Wichita State's backcourt over Mason and Seldon Jr. from Kansas. I mean, you have Baker and Van Vliet, both averaging over 12 points a game, shooting almost, Baker's almost 40% from the three. You know, they're both great players, juniors. Cliff Alexander for the Jayhawks, still kind of in limbo. If he's back, maybe I change my mind. He's obviously a big part of their roster at the forward spot. Kansas is really heavy with guards, and he really helps, you know, the front court. But otherwise, I think Wichita State's going to take that game. The only other thing you had mentioned was Texas, and I agree that they looked way better at the beginning of the year. I thought they would be really good, and they just had all these games where they kind of blew it at the end or just things did not go their way. So I don't see Texas taking out Notre Dame. I do think it's going to be Kentucky-Notre Dame in the final, like you do.
Yep, yep. Also, got to throw our listeners over to the redlightsportsnetwork.com as well as Blog Talk Radio. You can follow the show on Twitter at RLFN Basketball. You can go back to archive shows. And before the year started, like I mentioned before, I had Texas winning the Big 12. This was before any of the rankings came out, anything. You can check all that stuff out at the redlightsportsnetwork.com, and you can see how much of an idiot I was about this Texas team. But moving on to the West, spent more time than I wanted to on the Midwest, but that doesn't. In the West, Wisconsin got the 1, Arizona got the 2. You know, flip-flop from a year ago. Both teams, to me, I'm going to try and make this quick. It seems like a collision course for Wisconsin and Arizona to meet again. Out West, Arizona is going to have their fan base behind them. A lot of people are buying into Arizona, but I still like Wisconsin to beat Arizona and move on. Again, I think that, yeah, Arizona gets back a healthy Brandon Ashley this year, so he can help defend Kaminsky. I think that'll be huge. But you lose Nick Johnson, a guard, senior guard. You lose Aaron Gordon to the draft. I think Arizona's probably, I don't know, as good as they were a year ago, maybe. Not as good defensively. They're still really good defensively, but not as good. And Wisconsin, I think, is just better than a year ago. Not by a lot, because last year's Wisconsin team was extremely strong. But I just, to me, it's basically the same old story as last year in terms of talent-wise and where these teams are at. Again, I like Wisconsin to advance. Certainly wouldn't surprise me to see Arizona, especially out West. To me, that's weird. But I expect Wisconsin to meet Kentucky again this time around. As far as other stuff, a couple interesting matchups for both the heavyweights, so to say, in this region. If Wisconsin, the second round they get a talented Oregon or Oklahoma State team offensively, but that's it. I expect them to kind of breeze by that. Sweet 16, though, they can play Arkansas, they can play North Carolina. If they play Arkansas, if there's a team that can disrupt Wisconsin and make them play fast, which I don't think can happen, but if there's a team to do it, Arkansas runs legitimately 10, 11 bodies. There are 10 guys that average over 10 minutes a game for Arkansas. That's a team that if they get rolling and they create pressure like they do, they certainly have the athletes to compete with Wisconsin. It's just a matter of Arkansas being, I guess it's more of a matter of Wisconsin being disciplined enough to handle that pressure, and I think they would move on ultimately. But if they play North Carolina, North Carolina also has the talent, as well as the length and size inside. But again, I would just expect a Wisconsin team to be more solid all around for 40 minutes than North Carolina, like they've been up and down so far this year. But so that Havoc possible matchup dealing with Arkansas and their pressure is kind of the same way with Arizona meeting VCU in the second round. If VCU advances past Ohio State, VCU known for their Havoc, but losing point guard Briante Weber just demolished their chances. Big VCU guy. I love up-tempo basketball. But when you lose what was going to be the all-time NCAA record leader in steals, he's third right now, but he had 15 games to break it with 12 steals to do it. He averages over 3 a game. Losing Briante Weber after VCU was 17-3 with him this year was huge. They were barely over 500 without him. Obviously, they made their run in the A-10 tournament. Plenty of talking over the last 2 hours. I apologize. But the VCU is on a roll. But without Briante Weber at point guard, defensively, they're still really good, but they're not elite like they were. So I would expect, again, a good backcourt led by McConnell at point guard, Arizona to advance. What do you think about this West region? I guess the only thing I didn't get to was BYU making the Sweet 16, but I'll talk about that after you make your points. I just don't believe in Baylor, and I believe in BYU's offense. But so do you think it's basically a collision course for Wisconsin and Arizona to meet again?
I do. I do think that they will meet in the Elite Eight. However, this is if I had one region that had upsets, this is my upset region. I have a couple in the first round. I do think it's something interesting to point out. Wisconsin, Oregon, Baylor, Arizona, all in the same region as they were last year. Wisconsin took out Oregon in the second round and took out Baylor in the Sweet 16. I think you had the opposite of those matchups last year, if I recall correctly. So... Wisconsin, a better team. Oregon, not as good. Baylor, I think, was overseeded at a 3. I honestly don't respect Baylor at all. I think there's been a 14 seed upset a 3 seed in 3 of the last 4 years, and I think this, if there is a 14 seed that would take out a 3 seed, it would be Georgia State. I I'm debating if I want to take them over Baylor. I just do not like Baylor, and I really do think Georgia State could cause some havoc, to use VCU's term there. I think they could take them down. BYU, I have BYU over Xavier. That's my other upset, so that would be an interesting second round. And then the Wofford-Arkansas game, I think that will also be good as well. I don't think Arkansas would get by UNC. I don't think Wofford would get by UNC, but I do believe that the Wofford-Arkansas game is another strong 12-5 matchup where I would not be surprised at all to see Wofford knock off Arkansas. Otherwise, Arizona, I think they take care of business. Wisconsin, I think they take care of business, and they do see the rematch in the Elite Eight. Wisconsin just only lost Bruss from last year, but they've added Koenig as a starter. Jackson should be back by then if Wisconsin's still playing, helping as a role player. And Hayes has just grown so well. Nigel Hayes, their big power forward, can shoot the three now as well as anyone on the team. And Kaminsky seems to just keep getting better. So I do have Wisconsin advancing out of this region, taking the rematch. I just don't think Arizona's good enough on defense to stop Wisconsin's prolific offense, the best offense in the history of the Ken Pomeroy rankings, offensive efficiency, 124.9, I believe. That's pretty impressive. So Wisconsin-Kentucky in the Final Four. A lot of rematches in this region and possibly in the Final Four.
Yeah, good points, and especially the Ken Pom reference. That's bonus points right there for sure. So you have Wisconsin, North Carolina, and then I'm assuming BYU, Arizona, Sweet 16.
I'm debating between BYU and Georgia State in the Sweet 16. I feel like the 14 seed, if they did pull the upset, they kind of, you know, run out of steam, but you never know. So it's either, yeah, I either have BYU or Georgia State against Arizona, but I think Arizona easily takes care of that matchup.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, if there is a 14 seed to do it and beat a 3, it's definitely Georgia State. Every year I almost pick a 15 over a 2, and this year I didn't, because I see a 2 go down in that next round anyway. So it's like, what's the point of automatically picking the 2 beating the 15? I think it's just cool if you can predict a 2 seed to go down. And I correctly did it a few years ago in Georgetown. That was fun. If there's a week 2 that I think is going to go down in the next round anyway, then sure, why not? This year I didn't do it because I think all the 15s just aren't capable of doing it. Georgia State, if there is a 14 to beat a 3, it's definitely the team to do it. They've got R.J. Hunter, who's going to be in the NBA, if not a first-round pick. Ryan Harrow is, I want to say he's from, it's either Kentucky or NC State.
Transferred. Right, yeah, now. From, he's a beast.
He played at Kentucky his freshman year. So
yep.
He's obviously not terrible. He's a senior point guard. You have Ryan Harrow. You have an NBA body at the two guard, and then you have Kevin Ware from Louisville, who everyone knows because of his leg. So that's three big names. They're not going to be intimidated by Baylor. I'm a Baylor guy, but this year I'm not. I'm kind of with you on that. And so especially if you have BYU winning in that next matchup anyway over Baylor, I don't see why not picking Georgia State. It's worth basically a point in most, bracket pools out there. So it's, to me it's just cool if you can nab that huge upset right away. And I think that is probably the best shot someone has at a 14 or worse seed getting the upset is that Georgia State-Baylor matchup. I would agree with that for sure.
Exactly. And not that, I mean, you had mentioned the 15s and the 2s. I agree that all of them are kind of weak this year. But if I had to pick one, not that I think it's going to happen, but the way Kansas has played recently and with Cliff Alexander still suspended, New Mexico State has that huge 7-3 guy on their team or whatever. I think New Mexico State could be one that shocked Kansas. I don't see any of the other ones pulling off the upset.
I would agree. I mean, I think all the other 2s are fairly strong. I don't think Gonzaga is the greatest team in the world, but I think New Mexico State's probably the best one to do it. They ran through their conference for a reason. Their conference is absolutely terrible. But, yeah, New Mexico State isn't a bad team. Anything else on the Midwest you want to talk about? Otherwise, we'll go back up to the East.
On the West, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I think we pretty much covered it. Wisconsin Arizona rematch.
Yeah.
Move along.
For sure. All right. East side. Top way of the bracket. Villanova got the one. Virginia the two. For me, when this came out, this region, it was a bunch of teams that could come out of it. I wish Louisville still had Chris Jones, their point guard. If that was the case, then they would be a serious contender for me as well in this region. But without him, I just defensively, they were so good with him, and even offensively, they're with Chris Jones, they were a bad team offensively. Without him, they're still pretty bad. So that kind of killed Louisville for me. But Villanova the one, Virginia the two, Oklahoma the three. They have three really good guards in Oklahoma. They came out of this region, wouldn't surprise me at all. This East region, I mean, for me, I would be surprised, really surprised, if Kentucky obviously didn't come out of the Midwest. But Notre Dame is definitely the team to watch there. The West, if it's not Wisconsin or Arizona, I'm really surprised. Duke, Iowa State, to me, it's just the class of the South. Gonzaga is really strong. But so there's not, you know, a whole lot of wiggle room in some of these regions as far as truly coming out and representing. But for me, Villanova is really strong. Virginia is really strong. But I think Oklahoma could absolutely do it. If you and I truly lock down teams defensively and Seth Tuttle, you know, he leads you and I basically everything. He's a do-it-all guy forward. I think they could make a serious run as well. Michigan State, a team that coming into the Big Ten tournament, they were the second-best team, and they proved it. They're extremely dangerous. Plus, they could knock out Virginia early, which is what you want to do against Virginia because they have health problems with Justin Anderson, who's arguably the best player. He played in the ACC tournament, but he was extremely limited. And so if you want to beat Virginia, you want to beat them early, then that's what Michigan State has the opportunity to do. I want to say that Sunday, but I don't have it right in front of me. But that second-round matchup, Michigan State-Virginia, 7-2, certainly a possible upset there. But so Michigan State could go on a run as well. Basically, it's wide open. At the same time, while I say that, in the Elite Eight, I have Villanova and Virginia. I have Virginia advancing. But so like I said, to start the show, kind of, if it's Villanova's year to finally prove that they stage and can pull a legitimate Final Four run, this is the team to do it. They have the experienced guards. They run a four-guard lineup, so that's kind of where their weakest is with their bigs. But they're extremely tough, play great defense, can knock down shots, experience. They've got it all outside of, you know, a key big man, especially in an open region like this. To see Villanova hold suit as a one seed. But like I said, I have Virginia over Villanova. What are your thoughts on the East in general?
The East is the region where I have not chalk coming out of the that region, actually. You actually mentioned the team kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I was going to start raving about it. Northern Iowa. I have them in the Final Four. I think they're an amazing team. I love what they do. Tuttle is just a beast, 15.3 points per game, almost 7 rebounds, 3 assists at the forward position, great senior leader. They legitimately go 9 deep. I mean, it's a deep team. It's a great defensive team. They've played a tough schedule. They beat Stephen F. Austin at Stephen F. Austin this year in overtime. That was, you know, Stephen F. Austin obviously is a trendy 12 over 5 matchup. They beat Northwestern, they beat Virginia Tech, so they played, you know, obviously those two weren't great this year, but it's still schools in bigger conferences. They lost to VCU in double overtime when VCU had I'm blanking on his name, but you had mentioned it before. They beat Iowa, an NCAA tournament team, so they've challenged themselves immensely in the non-conference. And they beat Wichita State this year, too, as well. So, I mean, they know how to win, and I really do think with 30 wins and only 3 losses this year, they are legit, and they are a serious dark horse for the Final Four, and I did pick them to my Final Four. I just love what they do.
Yeah, I think it's a solid pick. I mean, like I said, I kind of downplayed Louisville, and I think it's for good reason, losing their point guard halfway through the year. I expect you and I to beat Wyoming, not much problem there. And then the Louisville game, it's going to be a slugfest, but I do like Northern Iowa to advance. And then, again, Northern Iowa plays, you know, a smaller Villanova team, if Villanova can get through LSU, NC State, which is kind of a trendy upset pick because a lot of people don't buy into Villanova because they are Villanova, and they see the talent that NC State has, and they see the height and the bigs that LSU have. You got 2 NBA players in the front line in LSU, and then NC State. Barbara, as the point guard, is extremely talented. When he gets going, he's unstoppable. And NC State's highs, you know, they crush Duke. Their lows are obviously their lows, but that's why they're an 8 seed. But so it's kind of almost trendy to pick against Villanova in that second round. I was thinking about it with LSU. I think because of LSU's height, they moved past NC State. And then, you know, especially against Villanova, they're going to have a mismatch inside. So LSU could get it done. That's why I think this region's so wide open, even though I have the 1 and the 2 sitting there in the Elite Eight. LSU or NC State could give Villanova massive troubles. And then, like I mentioned before, if you want to beat Virginia, you want to beat them early, and Michigan State has the opportunity to do that. And I haven't even talked about Oklahoma, but their 3 guards, Buddy Hield, Isaiah Cousins, Jordan Woodard, those 3 guards could take them a mile in this region. Providence isn't bad either. As far as a dark horse to look for, to me,
well,
there's, I mean, you can go ahead. I personally don't really see one.
I think Dayton can make the Sweet 16. I do believe that they could knock off Oklahoma. They have their first game at home. Not really fair, but the committee put them there in the first 4. They actually said they were going to look at switching up their rules next year for how they evaluate teams like that because, I mean, poor Boise State having their first game is basically a road game because they're playing in Dayton against Dayton. I don't know how that works, but whatever. It's good for Dayton. So I see Dayton winning that. The 6 seeds this year, not very strong. I feel like Providence is weak, Butler's weak, Xavier's weak. SMU I do like, but other than that, not a fan of the 6 seeds. Oklahoma, I agree. They do have 3 really great guards. They lost to Wisconsin earlier in the year in neutral site. I just don't think that with Oklahoma, they're just so up and down. They have, I believe, 10 or 11 losses. It's a lot of losses for a 3 seed. So I do think Dayton could return to the Sweet 16. Obviously, you know, they did it last year. They can do it again. They have the experience. I have Virginia advancing to the Elite Eight. And I also do have Villanova advancing to the Sweet 16. I don't buy the – I'm not a fan of Villanova. I don't think they played a great schedule. They beat a lot of teams, but who would they really beat? Nobody impressive to me. The best win is VCU, I guess, on their schedule. But NC State, they're good, they're bad. I don't think they'll be good enough to take down Villanova. But I do have Villanova losing to – Northern Iowa. So my Elite Eight is Northern Iowa, Virginia. And then I just, again, like I said, I'm just such a big fan of Northern Iowa. I do think they'll be able to score enough against that Virginia defense and shut down Virginia's at times horrid offense to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. There are plenty of teams that can come out of this region, so nothing would really surprise me as opposed to some of the other ones. That was one thing I wanted to hammer you on. Not necessarily hammer you on, but kind of. At the same time, there's always one trendy upset pick, and it's, you know, usually a 12 over 5. And so I always want to dispel that and say that there's no way this is going to happen, even though it's one of them is Stephen F. Austin, which we'll talk about over Utah in the South. But the West, not to go backwards, but Wofford over Arkansas. Arkansas is just so deep, and the way they play, they're going to have such an athletic mismatch over Wofford, they're just going to completely overwhelm them and beat them by at least 20. I think that whole notion of Wofford being, you know, able to keep up with Arkansas is just crazy to me. So that's one that I'll end up blogging about before the tournament starts. But as far as this East region, I think I'm pretty much done with this one. What do you say we move to the South?
Sounds good.
So we got about 9 minutes left, unfortunately. But Duke got the one, Gonzaga the two. Most people hate on Gonzaga, but if there is a time for Gonzaga to be one of these one or two seeds, this is probably the time to do it, which it sounds like every year people say that. I really do believe that. Their backcourt is a veteran backcourt, and they truly do have bigs this year. I'll have to bring up the names to make sure I'm pronouncing them all right. But if there's a time for Gonzaga to make their run, it probably is this year, just because of the front line that they have. One of those guys being Kyle Wilcher from Kentucky. Gonzaga, you know, is known for playing their kind of poor schedule through their conference, but they finished the season first in field goal percentage as a team, shooting over 52%. So this team is not a joke. Sixth in assists, 10th in points, 30th in rebounds. Just shows that they can rebound. They're not elite, but they have the bigs to do it. Like I said, with Wilcher as one of those guys, Sabonis is projected as a first-round pick, which I didn't even know, but Domantas Sabonis, Sabonis' son now. He's with Gonzaga. They have Przemek Karnowski. He's a complete monster in the sense of the word of monster. I'll pull up how tall he is right now, but he is a 7'1". 7'1", 288.
Yeah,
he's
not as big as that 7'3 guy from New Mexico State, though.
Not as big as the New Mexico State guy or the guy from UC Irvine who's 7'6", Mamadou Ndiaye.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
Gonzaga's got the bigs to actually do it this year. And then with Pangos and Wesley, Gary Bell Jr. in the backcourt, it really is as solid a team all around as Gonzaga's ever had. They have a lot of shooters. Their problem is their backcourt defense. Gary Bell Jr. is really good. Outside of that, Pangos, not a good defender. Wesley, eh. But so that's Gonzaga's problem, is they're not elite athletically. And so defending, they're just not a great defensive team. That's why I ultimately have them losing to Iowa State, because their offense, once they get down by double digits, their offense is unstoppable. I just lied. I have Gonzaga losing to Davidson, which I'll talk about. But Iowa State, if they play Gonzaga, I think Iowa State's offense would be too much, which leads me into Davidson. Their offense, if you haven't seen it, it's basically a picture-perfect motion offense. It features, you know, at least four guys at all times on the court that can shoot the three ball extremely well. They're a team that I've fallen in love with over the last month. Offensively, they're a juggernaut. The problem is they don't have bigs. They're not extremely athletic. That's why they got killed by VCU in the A-10 tournament. At the same time, a couple weeks ago, they killed VCU. So when they're hitting their shots, they could certainly beat anyone. At the same time, they are a smaller team. And so going up against Gonzaga's bigs, you know, if Gonzaga plays a lick of defense, then Davidson's in trouble. But if Gonzaga holds true to their form defensively, then Davidson should score 80 points, no problem. And that'll put Gonzaga into issues. But so the South region, got 5 minutes left. I have Duke beating Iowa State in the Elite Eight. I have Duke over Utah in the Sweet 16. That was kind of the 5-12 I wanted to bring up, too, with Stephen F. Austin's kind of the trendy smaller school. You look at the record, it's like 28-4 or something like that, and with good reason. They're a team that creates pressure, a lot of turnovers, can shoot it well. Their guards are really good. But at the same time, if you're going to pressure the ball and, you know, commit the other team into turnovers and score off those, the other team's backcourt has to be poor. And that's where Utah is strong, is their backcourt. DeLon Wright is going to be an NBA player. He's their point guard. I just trust Utah and DeLon Wright, especially, to be able to handle the pressure, kind of like Wisconsin and Arizona, Arizona against VCU, Wisconsin against Arkansas. I just expect those teams' backcourts to withstand the pressure. And so I trust DeLon Wright and Utah to withstand Stephen F. Austin's pressure. outside of Davidson, my biggest upset, I guess, in this entire bracket is Eastern Washington over Georgetown. I think Georgetown is massively overseeded. And then Eastern Washington, the team that, you know, like I said before, I love high-paced basketball. Eastern Washington scores over 80 points a game, good for third in the country. They have the nation's leading scorer, Tyler Harvey. The 6'4 guard shoots scores over 22 points a game, and he's a legit scorer, mainly because of the three ball. Shoots over 42% from three, and he jacks up over 9 attempts from three land a game. This Eastern Washington team loves to run. They love to score. Georgetown has a hard time scoring. So I love picking against Georgetown to begin with in general in the NCAA tournament, and this year is no different. So Eastern Washington is kind of my little, I guess, my biggest upset. But at the same time, Davidson is the team that I have, I guess, going the longest, I guess, alongside BYU. But I see Davidson losing to Iowa State in the Sweet 16. Pretty much wraps up my bracket, so you can go ahead. Got like 3 or so minutes left.
Okay, I'll try to make this quick. I agree with you on Arkansas. You know, they are very athletic. I think they will overwhelm Wofford. I disagree with you on Stephen F. Austin, just because I don't trust Utah whatsoever. They have a tendency to get super cold from three. They have some bad losses this year. They lost to Washington when they went cold from three. They lost twice to Oregon. They couldn't beat Arizona. They lost at San Diego State. They lost to Kansas. I don't trust them like you do. I think they go down to Stephen F. Austin. I agree. I have Georgetown losing to Eastern Washington. I think it's going to be a 13-12 matchup. That'll be interesting. I don't like Georgetown. I do like SMU. Larry Brown, last time he made the NCAA tournament, he won it. So I think he's got the good experience. I wish Moutier was on SMU. He's not, obviously. He's in China. But SMU is still a very strong team. I think they take down Iowa State in the second round. And I do think Gonzaga survives Davidson. You made all those good points already. I think it's Gonzaga, SMU, Duke, Stephen F. Austin. And then I think it's chalk, Duke, Gonzaga. And I have Gonzaga upsetting Duke in the Elite Eight. So that's my Final Four, Gonzaga, UNI, UK, Wisconsin.
Gotcha. I think that if Gonzaga does make it, they certainly have earned it. I think they'll have to go through Davidson. I think they'll have to go through Iowa State. And then I'm assuming Duke gets out of that little pot of eight at the top. So they'll certainly.
Yeah, Duke's clearly the best team there.
Yeah, I would agree. As far as Final Four and national champions, I can't pick against Kentucky, but like I blogged about before, if there is a team to beat Kentucky, I think the team with the best chance legitimately is Wisconsin. Kentucky in a one-game thing. It only takes one game, but I can't pick against them. But so I have Duke over Virginia on the other side, and then Kentucky again beating Duke. Even though I'm a Duke guy, I'm realistic at the same time. You can go ahead.
I have Kentucky, Wisconsin, UNI, Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga over UNI. I think if Wisconsin was playing Kentucky on 1-2 days rest, or 1 day's rest, excuse me, they would lose. But with 7 days to prepare for Kentucky, I think they do it this time. I think that's the best time to take down Kentucky is when you have a week to study for them. Wisconsin played them so tough last year, thought they had that game won. I think they do it this year, and I have Wisconsin over Gonzaga in the final. I think it's their year. I think it's finally their time. I think it would be a great final, Wisconsin-Gonzaga. 80-72 is what I picked.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. That, like I said, if there's a team to beat Kentucky, you're not insane for picking Wisconsin to beat them. I think that's definitely the team that has the best shot. The team that's all around doesn't make mistakes.